Welcome to Making Our Way Forward, a podcast where we share compelling life stories and learn from the experience of everyday entrepreneurs. At NACI, we celebrate diversity and invite you to join the conversation as we talk to entrepreneurs and leaders from all walks of life. We hope that by telling their stories, we bring you inspiration, empower you to take action, and ignite entrepreneurship in your community.
So welcome back to Making Our Way Forward. We are here with my friend, Dr. Monica Curry, part two. So Dr. Curry, we heard that the conversation with Dr. Corbin was so good that we wanted to do more with you. So I'm happy to be here with you. I am Jeff Smith, Director of Innovation and Equity for NACI. And I'm ready to jump in and to have some real talk with Dr. Curry today.
I'm excited. It was a great conversation with Becky. And so I was even more excited for the real talk conversation, Jeff.
Okay. Yeah. So we, one of the things that I definitely want to make sure that we talk about today is equity, but I want to talk about it in a little different way. So many people talk about equity or inequity as an abstract concept, but I'm interested in the lived experience and the social psychology or the experience of inequity. More specifically, I'm interested in your inner life as an African-American woman who has experienced a certain level of success, but not without the inner journey of overcoming fears, doubts, et cetera. So many of which have been imposed on you externally due to many things that happens in our society. So my first question to you, Dr. Curry, Monica, what has your inner journey been like on this overall entrepreneurial journey to achieve success and open up your own firm?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question, Jeff. No, that's a loaded question. So let's see, I'm going to take us back to probably one of my true first corporate jobs. And so I had been working for this organization for almost 10 years. And through a merger and acquisition, the HR policies changed. And so you had to at least have a bachelor's degree to qualify for the job that you were in. And so with my role in this organization, my role consisted of an immense amount of travel, plus my shifts would change from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. and 3 p.m. to midnight. So it was hard for me to finish my bachelor's degree. So after having been at the organization for almost 10 years, I no longer qualified for my job, had nothing to do with performance. And again, I know it didn't have anything to do with, for me, the way it was positioned, didn't have anything to do with color or gender. However, at that point, I decided that my education was never going to be a factor as to whether or not I qualified for a job. And so, you know, again, got another job after that. But again, my mindset at that point was education was never going to be a concern or issue when it came to a job. And so through different corporate jobs, I was able to, one, with that entrepreneur mindset, I ensured that every organization that I worked at, I took full advantage of every benefit that was offered. And for this, I mean tuition reimbursement. A lot of people just, they leave it on the table. And that's not something I was willing to leave on the table based on my goals and my values. So every organization I went to and through, I made sure that I utilized the tuition reimbursement. So after that organization, I transitioned to another where I got my bachelor's degree. And I also got my master's degree while I was at the organization as well. I was always, because I'm coming from a financial background, so I was normally and sometimes still normally the only individual of color, sometimes the only female, but in most cases, the only person of color in in a meeting, sitting at the table. And so in one of my last corporate jobs, I found it difficult to progress. So I started at the organization with two master's degrees, and I started at a level. My scale and scope increased by almost three times, still stayed at the same level title-wise and compensation. Then my title, then my role scaled even more, where I was supporting the enterprise nationally and internationally, and my compensation and title never changed either. And so, whereas I felt gratitude and I appreciated that they valued the work, the expertise that I brought to the table, I didn't see that they were showing me that they valued, because, you know, a lot of that is tied to compensation. Going back to the movie, show me the money. Not that that's what's most important to me. For me, it really is about impact. But when we talk about inequities, it's just like, okay, I saw individuals around me doing the same, well, not even the same work, being promoted, and I wasn't. And so, you know, at that point, that's when you just kind of sit back. By that time, I had obtained my doctorate's degree. I had had my doctorate's degree when I started supporting the enterprise for probably about 4 years. And so, you know, this is real talk. So at that point, I'm sitting back and I'm seeing all these people that are lighter complexion than me being promoted. And so that's where that self-talk comes into play. Like, am I crazy? Maybe I'm being overly sensitive. Maybe it's just me. And so I was fortunate to have some connections in the employee resource group, or actually it was a BRG, a business resource group. The head of the business resource group kind of had some conversations. And then it ended up being, you know, when you talk about an organization that is committed. So, you know, trying to identify this level of inequity and identify the problem and the solution, this became the mantra and the challenge of the chairman of this organization. And so I know we talk about, especially after the summer, there were a lot of companies on TV, on commercials, in the newspapers, making a stance, which is amazing. But the words without action is just words without action. And so, you know, and so the chairman actually spearheaded this project that I worked on for almost 2 years. And so needless to say, you know, I transitioned out before anything came to fruition for me. But what is great is since I've left the organization, I have seen the amazing number of individuals that have been promoted, whether it be internal to the organization or they've left the organization and they have blossomed. And so to me, you know, even though I didn't see the fruits of my labor, I could see that I planted the seed and then the impact was still made. So that was kind of my journey probably for the past 20-ish years. So, you know, sometimes you can see that it's not about inequities. Well, sometimes, again, if you talk about education, that's still class, in some cases, class equity. You know, that level of diversity is about class. But yeah, that's just a little bit about my journey and my experience. And part of the reason that I wanted to transition into this space is because I want to, one, help organizations see that there is value in having courageous and uncomfortable conversations about race and inequities. But I also want to be in a space where I can talk to young professionals and give them permission and confidence to speak up when they feel like they're not being treated fairly.
That's awesome. I love what you said and wanted to kind of track back a little bit. So you said that you felt that your work was being valued, but that it was not necessarily being valued in terms of demonstration by way of compensation. And so I want to kind of ask you to kind of unpack that a little bit. So, because sometimes I know it's difficult for us to say, as you said, you know, how we feel in a certain situation. So how did you feel when you were obviously doing a great job, doing the work, where you saw at least or felt that at least you were being valued in some ways, but in other ways you were not? How can you explain to us how that felt and some of the things that resulted in the ways in which you experienced that?
Sure. The way that I felt. Sometimes I felt like I was crazy and alone, to be completely and utterly honest, that I was alone, that, you know, maybe I'm being ultra sensitive, you know, because those of us of color, you know, we tend to like, okay, is it because I'm Black? And so I needed to have an objective point of view. And so my network is broad. My network is broad. It's very diverse in nature, male, female, higher level, lower level. And so just really having some heart-to-heart conversations. I'm big on feedback. I'm big on, let me know, like, am I doing something wrong? You know, I know there had become a, there was a point that one of my leaders was just like, well, I want you to work on your professional presence. And so I would say, so help me understand what that means. You know, what does that mean? Like, because you have me presenting in front of some of the most senior leaders. So that's a bit of a contradiction. And so I tend to, especially at that point, you know, almost eight years in, I started really having some hard conversations with myself, but then they translated into leadership as well. And I'm like, I need you to be more specific because you're allowing me to stand before some of the most senior leaders and present and or, you know, facilitate strategic meetings. But at this, in the same breath, you're telling me that I need to work on my professional presence. So I need you to tell me a little more. I need you to be more specific. What am I lacking? Is it my hair? Is it my diction? Is it my appearance? Like, tell me a little more. And I wasn't getting anywhere because it wasn't any of those things. In my mind, because again, if I wasn't doing a good job, you wouldn't have taken me from supporting 1,100 people to 7,000 people to more than 50,000 people. So I need you, you know, I started just really having those conversations, which, you know, especially as a Black woman, sometimes we're labeled, but at the end of the day, I'm just as passionate about my career as you are of yours. And so it's only right and fair that I ask some of those questions because I want to progress as well. And so, you know, going back to, so when I say I started at a specific level, and I'm just going to give a generic title. So I started as a director when I began at the organization. 8 years, so let's say 5 years in, I was still a director, same compensation. Now, of course, I'm getting, you know, merit increases because we're a pay for performance company. Most corporations are pay for performance. So I was getting merit increases. But every time I applied for a job, it was there was somebody else that was more qualified. OK, I got my doctorate's degree.
Right.
OK, now I got my doctorate's degree. I have 20 plus years of experience. You've seen value in me where I've gone from supporting one business to three business. So obviously I'm doing what's expected of me. I apply for jobs. We found somebody that's more experienced than you. And so a lot of times you can go on LinkedIn. You know how you can go on LinkedIn and you can see credentials because everybody puts it out there. And I'm like, I see, you know, I have dual screens. I can put stuff side by side.
Right.
Really? So again, it's those things. So again, merit increases. But in theory, the concept is I started as a director. 8 years later, from supporting one business to the entire enterprise, from a master's degree to a doctor's degree, I didn't see a promotion. Let me put it that way.
Gotcha.
I was granted broader scale and scope. but I didn't see a promotion in those years. And so that's when you say, okay, am I crazy? Like, I went back to school. And this is where organizations need to leverage. You know, if you know individuals have a specific skill set, you're supposed to tap into it, no right. matter the gender, no matter the color. But you should be wanting to tap into those individuals because they're bringing the latest and the greatest.
Right.
And so, you know, I had to, you know, I lay in bed and I would pray and I'm like, God, you know, do I continue to be patient or am I wasting my time?
Right. I love that. I love how you just kind of articulate it to us just like that, you know, how that feels. Because I think a lot of people feel like that, regardless as to whether they have an opportunity to articulate that or not. So let me ask you this, feeling undervalued or underappreciated can leave some wounds that may hinder our ability to move forward. So how have you found the strength to be resilient in spite of or in light of those wounds?
I have found a lot of strength in my network. Even in corporate America, there were individuals that I've worked with and for that valued what I did. And so I would lean on that. Individuals like Monica, you know, you're a rock star. Like somebody posted something on LinkedIn the other day. I didn't even remember who she was. But knowing that in a lot of the initiatives I did, whether it was in the corporate setting or at conferences when I spoke, knowing that I made an impact, those are the things that keep me going. Also knowing that I can make an impact that's broader than one organization, that's what excites me. That was part of the reason for me transitioning into corporate America because, you know, Jeff, you and I have had some of these conversations. Like, I feel like I can do a great service for the world. And maybe that is just too grandiose, but I want to have the opportunity to touch as many people as possible. Versus the silo, which is just in an organization.
Right. Wow. So would you say that ability to dream and vision in that way has been a mechanism that has helped to sustain you and to empower you?
It has. But in the same token, it has humbled me in the same token. Because, you know, coming from a place where you always had a paycheck
mm-hmm.
to, as an entrepreneur, you know, we have two pandemics that are happening right now with COVID and the racial pandemic as well. You know, that has left some of us that have transitioned into the entrepreneur space struggling a little bit to figure out, like, how do we still make an impact? But in all honesty, how do I still support my family and myself? It has been humbling. I've had to reach out to individuals to say, how can I help? There's also been opportunities where I've connected with some other entrepreneurs to say, okay, so how are you maneuvering through this? Or how are you maneuvering through that? Or maybe it's just a pep talk, you know, you got to keep it moving. And it takes also a level of discipline, self-discipline. I'm trying to get out of the negative self-talk. You know, should I be doing this? Can I do this? And I'm like, I've been successful this long. I'm not going to give you how many years, but enough years that I can do this. And it's just learning to trust yourself and invest in yourself as much as you do any other organization that you may have worked for.
Wow. Invest in yourself. Okay. That's going to lead me to the next question. So oftentimes I refer to the entrepreneurial journey as a healing process, especially for those who have not always been invited to the table to bring their ideas, their whole self, or even their entrepreneurial dreams. So what has, maybe a little bit more specific ways, what has that healing process been like for you as you said that you've had to continue to think about providing for your family, doing these things while you are, you know, engaging in this process of becoming, you know, who you are and pursuing this entrepreneurial dream?
So it has been, I guess it really started with a lot of self-reflection. Having to identify what's important to me, what's a priority, what do I value most, and what does the next chapter look like for me? It has been hard, you know, holding that mirror up and having to look at it. And so I, you know, I've realized that over the years, I've not spent as much time with my family as I wanted to. You know, I mentioned to Becky, my grandfather, when he passed, was 94 years old. And, you know, we had some amazing moments and experiences growing up. And I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not too busy to create those same memories and experiences for my grandson and my nephews and my daughter. And so, you know, going back to the investing in myself as much as I invest in another organization, you know, that's where I had to just realize, am I driven by title? I'm not driven by title. You know, I've been looking at some organizations and looking at some work. And you know what? I'm like, I don't care what the title is. What I care about is the impact that I'm able to make either on an organization or individuals. That's what's most important to me, but also being able to maintain. And I know that with us being at home, there really is no concept of work-life balance, but, you know, being able to identify and carve out that time that is necessary for me, self-efficacy, as well as my family.
Yeah. Wow. Powerful. So what have you learned from this, from your own journey, if anything, that may inform the ways in which you help others, as you said, pursue their dreams and be their best selves?
When I connect with others, and I stand by three characteristics: being humble, saying thank you, and being disciplined. So those are the three characteristics that I try to live by. That has helped me connect with some of the work that I've been able to contract thus far. But it also helps you when you're talking about being of service to others. You just have to humble yourself. You know, normally as entrepreneurs, we go out and we sell and sell. Like, this, these are my services. This is what I can bring to your organization. And I've taken a different stance on that. And the way that you and I met, Jeff, was me going to Becky and saying, how can I be of service to you? I know the great work that your organization is doing, whether it's NACI or another nonprofit or for profit. Like, what you all do inspires me. I'm an HBCU grad, and, you know, anything that I can do to help support HBCUs and those that are underprivileged in certain spaces, gain their voice and give them permission to transition into their space, whatever that is. Like, that's what has kind of saved me, if I can use that phrase, being humble and just saying thank you for any of the opportunities that you're granted, but also being disciplined and strategic about either how you're using those relationships. And I don't mean using in a negative term, but how do you leverage, how do you showcase those opportunities, those strategic partnerships that you've established, you know, and how do you lift? It's not only about lifting yourself up, but how do I also, those partnerships that I have, how do I showcase them on whatever platform that I can as well? So those are a couple of ways that I've used.
So what would Dr. Monica Curry now tell Monica Curry at age of, I'll say, 21?
Wow.
What would you say to 21-year-old Monica?
Okay. I have to also remember that my daughter and my mom are going to end up watching this. So
okay.
I have to be strategic. All right. So what would I really tell myself at 21? Finish school sooner. You know, don't put a pause. Again, it goes back to investing in yourself. You know, nothing worth having is going to come easy. So I know I've had to work for everything that I have, even as a single mom. You know, we all have situations and circumstances that we're living through. Just don't let them define you. And two, I would hope I would find my voice earlier in life. But that in itself talks to why I like going back to the HBCUs and helping these young individuals that are transitioning into corporate America, help them, give them permission to have a voice in that room, at that table. I don't know that anyone ever told me I had permission or gave me the confidence to know that I had permission to speak my truth, but those are the two things. Make sure that I continue to go to school, invest in myself, and find my voice earlier.
Yeah. Wow. So powerful. Oftentimes I feel like the voicelessness or feeling like, lack of power is so connected to what we think about and talk about when we think about equity and inequity and, you know, having a voice at the table and being invested in and feeling invested in. So Dr. Curry, I appreciate you. Appreciate your time. We have certainly enjoyed talking to you. I know, talked to Becky and she told me how wonderful the conversation was. And I'm glad to have an opportunity to do some real talk with you. I think a lot of our listeners are going to enjoy and be moved by what you had to say and empowered as well. And as well have some practical understanding of skills. You talked about humility. You talked about discipline and those things. So we appreciate you for joining us on Making Our Way Forward. We are looking forward to another conversation with Dr. Angela Long coming up next. And so we hope that all our listeners will join in on that conversation as well, and that we would have an opportunity to keep making our way forward as we join with people like Dr. Curry, who are doing good work, who are teaching us how to live and make our way for us in our communities, in our organizations, and in our own lives. So again, thank you, Dr. Curry, for your time. And we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Pleasure is all mine.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that listening to this podcast will help you to explore the many ways we might define entrepreneurship. Join us every other Wednesday for more episodes as we celebrate opportunity, learn from one another, and grow together. Subscribe to this podcast, connect with us on social media, and learn more about today's speakers at nacy.com/podcast. We look forward to making our way forward together with you.